a message today which I have entitled Destruction. Genesis 19, verses 24 to 29. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. So some of the images there, if you've seen any of the news reports, you can see the connection. So the second and much longer portion of scripture I've taken from Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and with the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, in the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. The sound of harpists, musicians, flautists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. I found myself in complete agreement with this Christian woman that I follow on Instagram. Her argument was that in the midst of human tragedy, it is the responsibility of Christians to respond as the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus. It's clear in what we learn in Revelation that there is a judgment day. Judgment is going to come. That is true. But we know for right now, Christ has not yet returned to judge this world. And right now, it's time to love this world and point to God's love for people. We're reminded in Matthew 25, verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Whatever we do and whatever we say to other people, we are doing that to Jesus himself. There is a lot of discussion, and I can understand why, about the end times and how close we probably are to the Lord returning, which is a great thing for those of us who are believers. But Christ alone has been tasked to judge this world with righteousness and mercy. We are not here to judge, and Scripture makes that abundantly clear. If we look at Matthew 7, verses 1 to 5, Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We are all guilty as human beings. We've spoken on this topic numerous times in messages that we've given, all three of us. We are all guilty. We are all worthy of punishment. As believers, our sins are covered by his blood. He's paid the price for anyone, everyone who will believe and accept his gift of grace and mercy. We are not here to judge other people. We are here to help show the way to salvation. We hear again from Paul in Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So unlike some Christians who believe that LA is so far gone, so full of sin, that God's decided to get rid of it and the people in it, I don't believe that is what we're seeing. But there is clearly something that we do need to learn from what we're witnessing at this time with these fires in LA. What is it that we should take away from this and should learn? For me, the most obvious message is what we hear in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Los Angeles has some of the very richest people known on the face of the earth living there, and some of the properties that have been burned have been owned by extremely wealthy people. The world is witnessing the reality that our possessions cannot save us, and we cannot save our possessions. In the week, a letter came in the post from my daughter Claire. It looked, when I saw it, like something that could possibly have a financial implication, so I opened it. And it claimed to be a second warning letter. I hadn't received a first one, but a second warning letter for a parking ticket that she'd been issued early in December. The letter said that had she paid the original fine, it would have been a £60 fine. But that the 2 weeks of grace had elapsed, and it was now a £100 fine. And if she did not pay that fine immediately, it was going to be £180. I'm trying very hard to help Claire live within a tight budget this year. It's not easy. She can't work because of the nature of teacher training, and I've got to finance what she can't accommodate from the maintenance loan that she gets from the government. So we're on a really tight budget. And I know that this added expense is not something that her budget could absorb. I also hadn't budgeted for it, so it's not something that I just have money I would happily go to and pay on her behalf. This letter was a wake-up call. Now, presumably my daughter knew that she had had a parking ticket early in December, and chose not to deal with it at the time. She kicked it down the road, as they say. She had assignments to write and Christmas to enjoy, and apparently it was easy for her to just ignore the situation. The problem we have now is that the longer she ignores it, the bigger and more expensive the problem gets. It's very easy for the vast majority of people in this affluent Western world of ours to make assumptions about their lives and their possessions. It's easy to be lulled into a belief that life will carry on much as it always has, and that there is safety in our homes, our incomes, our savings, our insurance policies. The world is currently witnessing in real time how this is a mirage. Life is fragile. Our belongings are vulnerable. Money and power and status do not and cannot protect us from tragedy. Our only possible hope is the hope we have in Jesus, his salvation, and his protection over us. We know that Satan, who is the father of chaos and destruction, has a limited time left here on this earth. He is certainly our enemy as believers, but in truth, he's the enemy of all mankind. He knows what's going to happen to him when Christ returns and is determined to take down as many with him as possible. He has no loyalty to anyone but himself and will easily throw non-Christians under the bus without a second thought. It's evident that both believers and unbelievers have been affected by the fires in California. Life in this broken world will result in suffering. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 11, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." As believers, we have confidence in the Lord's promise to take care of our every need, even in the midst of total disaster. I was listening to Dallas Jenkins, is he the writer, the producer? Anyway, he's with The Chosen. I know a lot of you have watched the Chosen episodes. And he was speaking on his Instagram account. A lot of his production team live in Los Angeles, as well as some of the actors that work for him. And he was reminding his listeners that God's priority is people's hearts. He referred to this verse from Psalm 34, verse 18. "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." These fires in Los Angeles remind us that our things cannot protect us or save us. There are now tens of thousands of people in California who are broken in every possible way known and have seriously broken hearts. It's painful to watch and to try to imagine what they must be going through. The situation appears so hopeless. But we have a God who answers the prayers of his people and can take whatever Satan has meant for evil and turn it into good. We know this with the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when he was reunited with his brothers that had sold him into slavery. "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive." The whole world knows about LA and Hollywood. What we see in the news at the moment looks like an apocalyptic Hollywood film. The world is watching, and that means that this horrific destruction is an opportunity for the world to see the hand of God at work as he does what he promises in turning this mess into something that reveals his glory. This is a wake-up call, like my daughter's letter about her parking ticket. We can't kick this down the road. We can't just think it's a decision for another day. It's a decision for today. But God will glorify himself. We see in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 to 5, "Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." We need to pray for Christians who are caught up in this disaster, that they will cling to God's promise of protection. I felt Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. But we also really need to pray for all of the unbelievers in Los Angeles, that they will feel God's presence and His call on their lives, that unbelievers will know that He is real and that He is a God who saves and mends. Psalm 139:7-8, we know as a fact, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God is very present. Human beings are arrogant. We believe we can do it all ourselves, that we are our own gods. We adopt the attitude, really, that Satan had from the time of his fall. Judgment Day will come. In this current situation, we've been given a glimpse of what it's going to look like, although it will be extended, as far as I understand it, over the entire world when that day arrives. But Peter reminds us that God is long-suffering and patient and does not want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We've already had this, Rob used it this morning as the opening scripture, but I'll just read it again. 2 Peter 3:1-9. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm bringing in one further section of scripture because I think it's relevant. Paul had occasion in Athens to speak to a group of philosophers, people who were intelligent but did not know God, did not know Christ. If we look at Acts 17:22-31, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. God is near to every single individual on this planet. We must pray that the fires of LA will cause a great awakening where unbelievers start to grope for him and find him. I've listened to loads of accounts of people saying, please pray for us. I don't even know that they're Christians. I think they're so desperate. They're just saying, please pray for us. They are groping for him. It's an opportunity for them to find him. We know that the easy, broad, and well-traveled road leads to destruction. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. My prayer is that these fires will cause more people to recognize and claim the safety of the narrow path and the narrow gate. This world is without doubt going to become more chaotic and less reliable as time goes on. We must build our house on the rock of Jesus Christ if we hope to avoid destruction, both now and for eternity. It is the only safe place to be. Again in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Dear Heavenly Father, it's very difficult not to feel overwhelmed and just like baffled as to how any of this is ever going to get put right again, and how individuals whose lives have been completely destroyed, how they're going to put the pieces back together and rebuild a life for themselves. But Lord Jesus, this is also an amazing opportunity with the world watching for you to work miracles in people's lives, just with the weather, that you can use this as a warning letter telling everybody, You need to pay up now. And thankfully, we don't actually have to pay anything because your son has paid it all. All we have to do is recognize that you have offered us this free gift and we need to accept it. And this is available to every single person on the face of the earth. I just ask, Lord, that this does herald a great awakening, Lord. A place like Los Angeles is so visible, so known by everybody around the globe, that work that happens there to your glory will certainly resound across this whole planet. So rather than be despairing, Lord, I choose to accept in faith that you have sent this situation, or that the situation is an opportunity for you to act, for you to use for good and for your glory what Satan has meant for evil, and that lives will be changed in the most fundamental ways as a consequence. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you are our rock. Thank you that everything you give to us, you give us freely, and all we have to do is believe that you are who you say you are. Thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.